We're turning to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, we're reading the first 10 verses. And the sequence of events is a little bit altered here, but that's for a reason. Because in God's kind providence, the way that He has arranged this passage in Scripture is so that we might see what happened with Peter and what happened with Judas side by side. That we might understand how God worked in this situation and what it was that Judas missed. I want you to think about that. What is it that Judas missed? As we read these verses and as we prepare for the supper, we know that the Lord Jesus is going to the cross, and we know that Judas was a means that the living God used to make that happen. We find out that Judas began to regret it. But what was it that Judas missed? Starting at verse 1, this is chapter 27. This is God's holy word. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, of whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them of the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. The precious word of the living and the true God. So what did Judas miss? What Judas says here seems to be a confession that he has sinned. He has sinned grievously. What is it that he's missing? What is it that you and I need to know that Judas did not understand on this fateful day? It's also the day in which the Lord Jesus Christ will give himself as a once-for-all sacrifice for sins. The morning has come, and the chief priests and the elders of the people are again engaging in a conference. It's probably the extension of the conference that they were engaged in all night, but they have a different focus now. Because they have considered Jesus Christ to be guilty of blasphemy. They have heard the words from his lips, and they have declared that he is deserving of death. But they can't accomplish that death by themselves. They acknowledge in John 18 that it's not lawful for them to put Jesus to death. The Romans had a different standard. And they did not allow the Jewish people to carry out these types of executions on the basis of their own law. This is repeated in the book of Acts as governors look at situations and they say some quibbling about words and their own customs, their own law. They have their own religion, you know. So the Jewish people, especially these chief priests and the elders of the people who are seeking to put Jesus to death, who think that he's guilty of blasphemy, they have to engage in practices that make him look more like a criminal before they head to Pilate. who starts his work early in the morning, by the way, so you can get it out of the way. And so they bind Jesus Christ. And we don't know if it's the first time that they put some sort of ropes on him or something, but they definitely wanted to portray him in this point as a criminal, as an enemy of the state. The whole case to Pilate is going to be that he is one who declares himself to be a king, a rival king, the king of the Jews. You see the evil nature of what they are trying to accomplish. They are using the claims of Jesus Christ to be the Messiah, to be the one who would sit on David's throne, to portray him as an enemy of the state. And now they bind him like a common criminal. And this could not happen, as we've seen before, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not willingly participate. If the Lord Jesus Christ did not willingly allow himself to be like a lamb led to the slaughter, bound up. Like Isaac was bound in Genesis 22. And they lead him away. No more are there people crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," as Jesus is led down these streets. It's early in the morning, before the crowds begin to swell. And they lead him all the way, and then they hand him over. They deliver him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, Pontius Pilate was not someone who was particularly fond of dealing with Jewish people. He got into trouble again and again. We find this from Jewish sources. The way that he treated the Jewish people was despicable. And he ended up finally losing his position over the way that he handled certain situations. Pontius Pilate, governor. He was really a prefect. He lived in Caesarea most of the time, but he would go to a place that was inside the city walls of Jerusalem during the time of the Passover, so he could be closer to all of the events that are taking place in his district. And then we read this little offline comment that is designed to help us to see Judas in contrast to Peter responding. Well, the chief priests and the elders, they were with Jesus at this time. So we're being shown something that happened at a slightly different time period, but that doesn't matter as much as seeing the fact that this is Judas, who apparently seems to now be feeling the weight of what he has done. You need to take that in, and you need to think about that for a minute. Because what he begins to acknowledge seems, at first, to have a lot of soundness to it. Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Judas began to realize the full weight of what was going to happen to Jesus Christ. He is now condemned. He is condemned to death. And Judas is responsible. And he begins to feel the weight of that. He begins to feel the weight of what he has done. And the Word of God uses the word repent here. But we know from 2 Corinthians 7 that there are different types of repentance, don't we? We know that there is a kind of repentance that is the result of godly grief, and we know that there is a kind of repentance that is the result of the sorrow of the world. The Apostle Paul writes about godly sorrow, which worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow. Not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, there's a kind of repentance that needs to be repented of. It's a repentance that's not deep enough. It's a repentance that isn't godly. What does godly sorrow look like? Well, it is sorrow after godly sort is carefulness, clearing yourselves, indignation, fear, vehement desire, zeal, those types of things. In other words, it's deeper. Judas began to recognize the consequences of his actions. He began to recognize that Jesus was condemned to death. He began to recognize that what he had done would cause Jesus to die. And he began to desire to undo what he had done. That's what Judas wanted to do. I just want to undo it. So I've received 30 pieces of silver to turn them over. I'm going to hand them back. I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to acknowledge that I shouldn't have made this transaction. That's what Judas is trying to do. He brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. And then he acknowledges something. He says, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He acknowledges that the Lord Jesus Christ is innocent. He uses language, innocent blood, which occurs in the Old Testament, language that is designed to actually convict the people of God in the way that they have mistreated others at times. But certainly true of the Lord Jesus Christ, innocent blood. He is pure, he is spotless, he is a lamb without spot. And he has been betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave. That's the value that he placed upon Jesus Christ. The keeper of the money. Yes, he sinned. He sinned in betraying innocent blood. In fact, Jesus has already said that it would be better if the one who betrayed him in this way had never been born. That's what Jesus Christ says to say about it. So we learn something. We learn something about what it means to turn to God. We learn that when you turn to God, it's not enough to simply say, I've done the wrong thing. I have sinned. It's not even enough to begin to recognize the consequences of your actions. Because sometimes what happens when we acknowledge our sin and we begin to see the consequences of our actions is what we really want is for those consequences to go away. We want those consequences to be removed. We don't really want to be on clear and right terms with our Savior God. And you see, that's one of the things that Judas missed. The relationship that he was to have with the living God. But there's more. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And, of course, the chief priests and the elders, they are those who have a pastoral concern for people in their sphere, right? There are people who are going to listen to this acknowledgement of sin, this recognition of the consequences of those sin, the realization that Judas had that he was responsible for this transaction that caused Jesus Christ to be betrayed. Surely they will point him in the right direction. Surely they will help him, because that's what their role is. That's what they're there to do if they're true shepherds. No. They completely push it back on Judas. This one is already beginning to recognize the full weight of what he has done. And they say, that's not our concern. What is that to us? See now to that. In other words, Judas, it's your problem. The transaction was made. You're having some feelings of doubt. You're having some regret. In fact, he's having a lot of regret. The language that's used, the language for repentance, is not your normal word that's used for repentance, turning around. It is a word that has to do with experiencing the sorrow and the regret of what you've done. But remember Peter. Peter experienced tremendous sorrow. Peter experienced the reminder that he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times according to his word, and he went on and wept bitterly, it says, at the end of chapter 26. So what's the difference? Why is one engaging in godly sorrow that will work repentance and bring it back into a proper relationship with God, and why is Judas engaging in a kind of sorrow that doesn't bring about full repentance? Repentance that needs to be repented of. Just acknowledging the consequences of his actions and feeling incredible sorrow about it. And then now experiencing the consequences of having those who were supposed to shepherd him just brush him off. Feeling more and more alone, more and more alienated. Judas is experiencing the weight of his sin. A shorter catechism helps us out. Question 87. What is repentance unto life? You see, the kind of repentance that brings salvation, the kind of repentance that brings about life, the kind of repentance that brings about a proper relationship with the living God. What does that repentance look like? Here's what it says. Repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and, important, apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. Judas had grief and hatred of his sin. Judas was experiencing the full weight of the consequences of his actions. He went to these chief priests and elders and tried to turn in the 30 pieces of silver. But what Judas missed is the mercy of God. Do you realize how powerful that is? When you repent, you have to have grief and hatred of your sin. That's necessary, or you won't turn from your sin. I don't hate my sin. Why would I turn from it? Judas had to come to the point where he had grief and hatred of his sin. But the reason that he didn't turn back to God is because he didn't understand the mercy of God. He did not understand that God was merciful to people who turned back to him. All Judas had was sorrow, experiencing grief, and he even hated what he had done. He wanted to undo it. But he did not know that God was merciful. And those who were able to turn to God with grief and hatred of their sin, from their sin, turning to God, begin to desire in their obedience. They begin to desire to obey God in the way that is proper and right. That's what Judas missed. He missed God's mercy. And some people in the history of the church have even said that Judas sinned more in despairing of the mercy of God than in betraying his master's blood. Matthew Henry writes that. Judas sinned more in despairing of the mercy of God than in betraying his master's blood. That's quite a statement. Which is the greater sin? Betraying your master's blood for 30 pieces of silver? Or failing to recognize that God is merciful to those who turn back to him? Now, many of us, if we were pressed, we would say, it's betraying the master's blood. That's the more serious sin. He's on his own. I think those chief priests and elders were right. He's on his own. He did it. Let him pay the consequences. But you see, the whole wonder of the gospel and the beauty of seeing the contrast between Peter and Judas rests on this fact, that God is merciful to sinners who turn to Him. In fact, this woman is going to the cross. He made this quite clear in Matthew chapter 5, as He told us again and again things like this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. To begin to desire to be like the one who is merciful to you is incredibly important. So we don't want to follow the chief priests and the elders in their attitude towards someone who is acknowledging their sin. We need to be ready to point them to the mercy of God. We need to recognize when people are beginning to experience grief and hatred of their sin, and we need to be able to show them the mercy of God, because we want them to repent. We want them to turn with grief and hatred of their sin from it unto God. And for that, they need to see both the horror of their sin and the mercy of God provided in Christ. That's what Judas missed. He was caught. He was caught in his sin. He was caught recognizing the consequences of it. And he was in a downward spiral. And he met these chief priests and these elders, and they did not help him out. They brushed him off. And so Judas cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. And he leaves. And he goes out. And he hangs himself. Full of grief and hatred of his sin, full of the weight of the consequences of his sin, unable to get out of his mind what he did. But you see, when Judas cast those pieces of silver down, the Holy Spirit was helping us to see a pattern that had been revealed in the book of Zechariah and in the time of Jeremiah, a pattern that was unfolding in the history of redemption that would begin to come together in Jesus Christ. A pattern that we've already seen about the rejection of Jesus Christ, how he was rejected, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, such as is revealed to us in Zechariah 11. Holy Spirit is showing us this pattern because it's a big pattern. It's a pattern that's there in the history of redemption. But the chief priests take these silver pieces, and suddenly their hypocrisy begins to show. When Judas came to them and said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood, they should have seen themselves. They should have acknowledged to themselves before God that they received these 30 pieces of silver. That they were the ones who took these 30 pieces of, they provided the 30 pieces of silver for Judas so that Judas might betray Jesus Christ. That money exchange is on them. Just as much as it's on Judas. And if they don't acknowledge this, all of a sudden, with the money there on the floor that they have to gather up, they say, this is the price of blood. It's not lawful for us to put this in the treasury. It's the price of blood. What are we going to do with these coins? These 30 pieces of silver. It's blood money. Well, yes, it was blood money when you gave it. Chief priests and elders of Israel, binding Jesus Christ, leading him to the governor to try to portray him as an enemy of the state. That was why you gave Judas the 30 pieces of silver. You were happy that you found a way to catch him in the garden. This is blood money, but you gave it. Now when they receive it back, we can't do something that's serving God with this money. We've got to do something else. So they gather together and they buy a potter's field to bury strangers in. That's what we'll do. We'll use this unclean money to buy an unclean field to put unclean people in when they die. It's all fitting. Except that they don't acknowledge their own sin. You see, the chief priests and elders missed something too. They're not even as far as Judas in recognizing the consequences of their sins at this point. They're full of hypocrisy. They're denying their sin in the first place. And that's why the field was called the field of blood unto this day. And then the Holy Spirit does something that trips people up and they get a little confused by it. But what's happening is that the disciple who's writing down these words is accenting a pattern that was seen in the book of Jeremiah and that was seen in the book of Zechariah. A pattern that is seen, and according to Jewish thinking, Jeremiah is the weightier prophet. He's the major prophet, and the minor prophets are lesser in the Jewish thinking. And also, the pattern that he's about to unfold in these words that he uses comes from Zechariah, but it reveals a pattern that's already there in Jeremiah. In other words, there's a pattern of the rejection of Jeremiah and Zechariah and the judgment of God coming on people who engage in this rejection. And so he says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy, the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed. It looks a whole lot like a quote from Zechariah chapter 11, which says this, and I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price, Zechariah's price, 30 pieces of silver. There's the pattern. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized of them, being sarcastic. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. It looks exactly like what Judas did. But Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is showing us a pattern. He's not just showing us a simple quote from the book of Zechariah. That's what we expect. That's what we want. You're quoting from Zechariah or Jeremiah now. Which one? He's showing you something bigger. The Holy Spirit is showing you something bigger. He's showing you the fulfillment of this pattern. As Zechariah was valued at the goodly price of 30 pieces of silver. It's nothing. The prophet of God, a shepherd, rejected for 30 pieces of silver. So cast them down because the Lord said to do that. But that casting down of those 30 pieces of silver was a demonstration of how the rejection of this prophet of God, this shepherd of God's people, was to be disdained. That's ridiculous. It is ridiculous that the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. They needed to be cast out. But you see, God began to show something else in the book of Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah in chapter 18, go visit a potter. And the potter began to make something out of clay. And the Lord began to speak of how he was a potter. And then in the 19th chapter of Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah to get a potter's earthen bottle and go into the field of the Valley of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the East Gates, and proclaim there the words that I tell thee. And just to summarize, he talks about idolatry, he talks about evil that will be brought upon this place. They have built the high places of Baal, and so this valley will be called not the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. God is saying that this place, in Jeremiah 19, will be a valley of slaughter. A city that is made desolate. In fact, this valley of slaughter will be so much associated with death that they will fill it up till, he says in verse 11 of Jeremiah 19, till there will be no place to bury. That's a field of blood. The judgment of God is represented by what happened with Judas in that moment. Not only the disgusting display of how little they valued their shepherd in the time of Zechariah, revealed in how little Jesus Christ was valued, that he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. No matter that the chief priests, at the time when they should have been changing their response to Jesus Christ, are talking about whether the money that they get back from Judas is blood money or not. And what it could be used for. Themselves fulfilling prophecy. Themselves fulfilling the word of God that is revealed in the pattern of Jeremiah 19 by buying this place. This field of blood. What the Holy Spirit is showing us is that this whole pattern that has been revealed in the time of Zechariah and Jeremiah is all coming to a head in Jesus Christ. Betrayal for 30 pieces of silver and the buying of a place to bury strangers that will be called a field of blood. This is the rejection of the shepherd by people that were themselves supposed to be shepherds. And what was it that they failed to communicate to Judas? Because in the midst of their hypocrisy, they didn't understand themselves. Simply the mercy of God. Provided in Jesus Christ. He knew that he was going to be valued at 30 pieces of silver. He knew that Judas, when he began to experience the grief and hatred of his sin, wasn't going to turn to him. Wasn't going to remember the things that Jesus Christ said about the blessing of being poor in spirit and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He wasn't going to turn to him because he didn't really understand the mercy of God that was being expressed in Jesus Christ. Judas missed an opportunity to turn to God in his mercy. Peter received it. The difference is, Judas missed God's mercy. And what I'm telling you is, when you think about your sin, as you should, think about it all the way. Think about how serious it is. Think about the fact that because of your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. This exchange is all designed to show us the way that the shepherds were rejected in the time of Zechariah, and the way in which God was judging his people in the time of Jeremiah with his field of blood. But you and I need to know that our sin was so heinous that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. And today, as we do regularly, we observe the Lord's Supper. We remember his once-for-all sacrifice for sins. And we remember it desiring not to be filled with hypocrisy like the chief priests and the elders, who say, I wasn't responsible. This is blood money. Let's do something with it. But who recognize that when we receive the bread and the wine, we are receiving the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, given to us. Now that would fill you with mixed emotions, grief and hatred of your sin, and at the same time, a wondrous sense of the mercy of God provided for you, that he would provide for you this bloodless remembrance of that bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That you might remember that God provided for you a way for you to have knowledge that Judas missed. That you might turn from your sin. That you might endeavor after new obedience. That the supper might be a means to strengthen you in your Christian walk. That you might be filled with that repeated sense of grief and hatred of your sin. And turning to God and experiencing his mercy. And then hungering and desiring to be obedient to him in new ways. And that's the pattern. It's the pattern that's shown to you. Because you receive in your own hands and in your own mouths today what Jesus is. God's mercy given to you by the Holy Spirit. You are given Jesus Christ. Receive him by faith. And turn to this merciful God, fully recognizing what your sin looks like.